Listen for the school bell, and when you hear that school bell ring, you'll know it is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And so it's time to get your Bibles and become a student in this school by turning up your radio and following along with us in our studies. In this Radio Bible School, we are looking at Sunday school lessons written many years ago by E.A. Elam. And today we're on a Sunday school lesson that was written for the Sunday of September 16th, 1923, about Luke, the beloved physician. And in earlier classes, we have talked about the writing that Luke did that contributed to the New Testament, particularly the writing of the book of Luke and of the book of Acts. And I want to read you this from Elam's notes. It tells us here, in this old Sunday school lesson, that Luke was not an apostle, and therefore not an eyewitness of what he wrote concerning Jesus. He learned it from others. He was a scholar, and traced the course of all things accurately from the first, and sought information and facts from all sources, until he knew certainly concerning the things whereof he wrote. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. He wrote the book of Luke before Acts of the Apostles and the book of Acts before Paul's death. It is thought by some that he wrote the Gospel of Luke while under Paul's influence at Caesarea. Certainly while Paul was awaiting his trials, Luke would have had time to go check with the witnesses concerning the things which he had heard. And it is also thought that he wrote the book of Acts, the apostles, while he was with Paul at Rome before Paul's first trial before Caesar. Now, that being the case, Luke not being an eyewitness of the things he wrote concerning Jesus, he was an eyewitness of some of the things he wrote in the book of Acts concerning Paul, and we're going to be looking at that in just a moment as we look at Acts chapter 16. So get your Bibles now. Turn to Acts chapter 16, and we'll begin in Acts chapter 16, verse 9, and we'll look at the Macedonian call, the voyage to Philippi, the place where Lydia and her household were converted, and see about some of the things that Luke was able to tell of when he was present when those events took place. Now, as you're getting your Bible and turning to Acts chapter 16, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola, at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this Radio Bible School. Now, with your Bible in hand, let's turn to Luke chapter 16, and we read in verse 9, that a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there was a man of Macedonia standing, beseeching him and saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." This is while at Troas. Probably the night after he reached there, a vision appeared to Paul, that man of Macedonia beseeching him, saying, "Come into Macedonia and help us." Some have speculated that the man in this vision may have been Luke himself. It is interesting. We read about Paul passing through Galatia, and Paul would later write to the Galatians as on how they had so graciously borne with him in his infirmities, and that is some sickness that Paul had along the way. And it is after passing through Galatia that Paul comes to Troas. Perhaps that is why he sought the assistance of a doctor, and someone told him about Dr. Luke, who may have already been a member of the church. That may have been the occasion why Luke and Paul met. But at any rate, Luke joins them here at Troas. And this vision that Paul saw of this man of Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us," Well, it's like Peter's vision at Joppa concerning Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and like others which Paul would have along the way. It was a revelation of God's will to do what he desired Paul to do. We read in Acts chapter 16 and verse 10, "And when he had seen the vision, straightway we sought to go forth into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel unto them." Now Macedonia was northwest across the Aegean Sea. It was at this time a Roman province. Thessalonica was the capital. They rightly concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel in Macedonia, and now they begin to see why they were forbidden at this time to preach in other places where they had planned to preach. Notice the pronouns, "we went into Macedonia," that we might be able to preach the gospel there. And those are the pronouns indicating that Luke accompanied Paul on this voyage. We read about this voyage in Acts chapter 16 and verse 11, where we read, "Setting sail therefore from Troas, we made a straight course to Samothrace, and the day following to Neapolis." Well, they found a ship in readiness and a propitious wind at the sea. So they made a straight course into Samothrace, and the day following to Neapolis. It's a little name that means new town. Samothrace was an island in the sea, and Neapolis was a seaport of Philippi, which was about 10 miles distant. 2 days they were across the sea. There was another time in which they were 5 days in making this voyage in the opposite direction, Acts chapter 20 and verse 6, probably because at that time the winds were contrary. And they came to Philippi. We read in Acts chapter 16 and verse 12, "And from thence to Philippi, which is a city of Macedonia, the first of the district, a Roman colony. And we were in this city tarrying certain days." Philippi was built by Philip, king of Macedonia, the father of Alexander the Great. He named it for himself. It was made famous by the battle fought there between Brutus and Cassius on one side and Augustus Caesar and Mark Antony on the other, in honor of which Augustus made it a Roman colony. He settled it with freedmen and soldiers, and a colony had its own senate and magistrates and was a miniature Rome. It was the first of a small district, but not of all Macedonia. Paul and his company were now in Europe, and we were in this city tarrying certain days, not yet seeing just where or how to begin their work. But they found a place of prayer. We read in Acts chapter 16 and verse 13, "And on the Sabbath day we went forth without the gate by a riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spake unto the women that were come there together." There was no synagogue of the Jews in Philippi. The pious Jews had a place of prayer without the gate by the riverside. The river was probably because of the Jewish washings. This was an enclosed place or a temporary structure. To this place on the Sabbath, Paul and his company went and sat down and spake unto the women that were come together. The church in Philippi, like many now, began among the women, the first to hear and obey the gospel in Europe, were women. They were either Jewish women or proselytes. More likely they were Jewesses. This was on Saturday. The first day of the week is never called the Sabbath. And so we read about the conversion of Lydia and her household. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 14 we read, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, one that worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and gave heed to the things which were spoken of by Paul." Lydia was from Thyatira. a town on the border of Lydia and Mysia. Paul and his company had just passed through Mysia. Lydia was about 300 miles from home when she was in Philippi. Purple was a highly prized by the Romans and was worn by the rich and the great. The rich man, you remember, was clothed in purple and fine linen, Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. And in mocking Jesus, they put on him a crown of thorns and a purple robe, John 19, 1 through 3. Emperors and kings wore purple. It was a costly dye and was of different hues. It was an important industry in Thyatira. Lydia must have had some means in order to deal in this dye or these purple goods, yet she had to depend upon her own exertions. She was a devout woman and worshipped God, and she worshipped according to the law of Moses. While she was in Philippi in business, and while her rivals in business were at work on the Sabbath, she found time to quit business and to go to the place of prayer in order to worship God. She did better then, though not a Christian, than many professed Christians do now. And it says that the Lord opened her heart. The exact words from the text we're reading, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opened her heart through the teaching of Paul. He instructed her and removed former errors from her heart. There's nothing mysterious about this. Her heart was not opened before Paul taught her. Paul was sent to instruct her, just as Ananias had been sent to him, Peter to Cornelius, and Philip to the eunuch. You know, it is easy to see how someone's heart can be opened by hearing the gospel. That is where we read about the love of God to man and the great extent that God went to reach toward man to offer his grace unto him in sending his son, born in a manger in the lowly circumstances and raised in Nazareth, and yet became a preacher. And he went about doing good and had compassion on the lowly. And then we read how that those who were in power and were threatened by him took him out, and with a cruel trial and cruel treatment they crucified him. And yet he rose from the dead. When he was on that cross, he said to those who were crucifying him, or of those, saying to his God, his Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That is the kindliness and goodness of Jesus. How could that not open the heart of anyone that was sincere? So Lydia, hearing about Jesus, had her heart opened to give heed to the things which were spoken by Paul. And that means to obey these things. She was enlightened as to Jesus and the gospel, and rendered that obedience which all did under the preaching of the apostles. She believed in Christ, repented, and was baptized in his name. If the hearts of people today are opened as the Lord opened Lydia's heart, then they will do as she did. We read in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15, "And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." It's when she was baptized. That shows this is one of the things spoken by Paul. There was a river in which she could easily be baptized. When Philip preached Christ to the Samaritans and to the eunuch, they were at once baptized. And when Paul preached the word of God to the jailer, he and his house were baptized the same hour of the night. And so it is in this case, which shows that this obedience always followed preaching of Jesus when people obeyed it all. Her household were doubtless women employed by her in her business. A woman with infants would likely not have been 300 miles from home on such business. It is not even stated that she was married. It does say she constrained us. and shows that Paul and his company did not accept her hospitality until they knew it would be no imposition upon her.